Morning. If you don't know me, my name's Tim. My name's Tim Googe. I've been part of Grace Church here since it very first started about 10 years ago, all the way back in 2006. Currently, I'm the Chair of Trustees, and my family and I have the joy of being part of the site here, right in here in Midhurst, which is fantastic. For those of you who may not know, Grace Church is a multi-site church. And what that means is that on a Sunday, we are one church, but we actually meet in separate locations. So we've got one site down in Bognor Regis, one site in Chichester, and we've got one site up here in Midhurst. So we are kind of the most northern edge of Grace Church, if that makes sense. But just before we start in earnest, we are going to be preaching from the Bible here this morning, and it would definitely help if you've got one to hand. So if you haven't got a Bible here this morning, then do feel free, please just put your hand up in the air, and our wonderful stewards will deliver one to you right in your seat. Incidentally, if your hand is in the air, and one of the things we do as a church, if you don't have a Bible of your own, do feel free to keep that Bible for yourself as a gift from us to you. Okay? Cool. We're now on week 3 of our autumn preaching series, which is entitled A Future and a Hope. And what we're doing in this series is we're focusing on key promises of God to his people. In week 1, Steve looked at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then last week, David spoke about 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, "For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And just as a bit of a little aside, can I encourage you, if you miss these, do get the downloads, because they are really good. I'm not just saying that. You will be blessed. They are that good. Okay? Cool. So now we're in week 3. And what can I say? It's as promises go, this is a big one, just to say this morning. This is a big one, because what we're going to look at this week is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, you ready for this? You're very quiet this morning. Okay. If you've got your Bibles, can you please open them up to Acts chapter 1, verse 1? And in a moment, what we're going to do is we'll go through it step by step. Okay? So, verse 1, starting there. "In the first book, O Theophilus," I can never pronounce that, "Theophilus," that main name Theophilus actually just means lover of God, if you're interested, "I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given his commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." Verse 6 says, "So when they had come together, they," that's the disciples, "asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" And what the disciples are essentially asking here is this: "Jesus, are you going to overthrow the Roman army, restore Israel's borders, and make Israel the world's greatest superpower?" That's genuinely the question they were asking. And that, to be fair to them, that wasn't an uncommon mindset for the Jewish people at that time. That is what they were looking for. That's what they thought Jesus would do. That's what they're looking for a Messiah to achieve. That's what they wanted. They still hadn't grasped this concept that the gospel is about much more than one nation and one people group. They haven't grasped the idea that it's bigger than borders and governments. So Jesus then turns around and he says to them in verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus just blows their question completely out of the water. It's a bit like he's saying, "Do you know what? Don't worry about that. My Father's got all of that in hand. But think about this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will take my gospel all the way to the ends of the earth." And I'd just love to have been a fly on the wall at that particular moment in time. Because the disciples have got one mindset, and Jesus is going, no, you're completely, you haven't got this at all. And so they must have been like, sorry, what? My brain hurts. It's almost like where they must have been at. And in verse 9, it then just says, "And when he had said these things, when they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And that's Jesus ascending into heaven. So no sooner had Jesus just completed that sentence, completely challenging their worldview, he's taken up into heaven. He ascends. It must have been completely weird for them. You can imagine they were probably just kind of going, sorry, what? Bye. What just happened? Don't know. Peter, any ideas? No. James? No. Thomas? I've got my doubts. I don't know. What's going on? And then somebody probably just turned around and said, should we just do what he says? And that's what they did. So in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to dip into that in a minute, we read about them staying in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit coming on them. And it was a totally transforming experience. So as you read through the book of Acts, you can see how this small, fearful, no doubt confused bunch of people, all of a sudden when the Spirit comes, it's like boom. They become a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered, emboldened people of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit on these disciples. That is what happened. And the big question I think we need to look at today is, when Jesus made that promise to them, the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, is that promise relevant for us today? Was this promise of the Holy Spirit just for that people group at that time? Or is the Holy Spirit something that we should experience and be empowered by as Christians today? So here's what we're going to do. Firstly, let's examine the Holy Spirit, who he is, and let's have a look at whether we should expect the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. And by the way, the answer will be yes, otherwise the whole preach falls over. And we're going to dig into the Bible in a second to have a look at that. And after that, we're going to get much more practical and have a look at why would I actually want the Holy Spirit in my life? And then we're going to look at how do I get empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Cool. So, firstly, this is a little bit a whistle-stop tour of the Bible, looking at the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of it in there, but this is a bit of a whistle-stop tour. We're going to start with the Old Testament, okay? There are multiple references in the Old Testament of people being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, for example, if you read Judges chapter 6, you can read about Gideon, which Ali Thompson preached on very well indeed. The Holy Spirit changed Gideon from being a coward, literally hiding in a hole in the ground, in a wine press, to being a great military leader. Total transformation. When Samuel anoints David king of Israel, it says, the Spirit of the Lord rushed on David from that day forward. Samson got his strength through the Holy Spirit, and it says that Elisha received a double portion of the Spirit. However, what is clear in the Old Testament is that the Spirit is not given to everyone. He's not widely available as he is to Christians today. However, if we skip forward a little bit, in the Old Testament, there is a promise in the Old Testament given through the prophet Joel. And the book of Joel is this tiny little book tucked into the minor prophets. And here's what it says. Joel chapter 2, 28, 29. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. So what he's saying is, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, everyone. And this was written 580 years BC, 580 years before what was going on in the book of Acts. So now if we jump forward to the book of Acts, bear with me, we're nearly there. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on the disciples. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these people speaking Galileans? In other words, why aren't they speaking their own language? How is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergola and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked and said, oh, they're filled with new wine. In other words, they're drunk. And in verse 14, I love this bit, it says, but Peter. And this is the same Peter who denied Jesus three times. If you read back at the story of Peter and Jesus, this is the guy that when he's challenged about his relationship with Jesus, he's going, I don't know him. I swear, I don't know him. I do not know this man. This same guy, when filled with the Holy Spirit, does this, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is the only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. See if this sounds familiar. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. So what Peter's saying is, 580 years after that prophecy was given, he's saying, right now, this is now coming to pass. And if we skip forward, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he then goes on, he tells them about Jesus. He says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then finally get this, verse 39. For this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Do we get it? Everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. You're a Christian here today, God has called you. This promise in Acts 1 verse 8 is real, it's powerful, and it is available to every Christian believer today. And there are Christians throughout the world who can testify that there was one moment in their life when the Holy Spirit came on them in power. And it is a life transformed. Okay, so being a bit more practical, can I tell you my story? That'd be all right. I became a Christian when I was 19, and it was a Methodist church up in Cambridgeshire in the Fenland. Has anyone been to the Fen? Yeah, very flat, famous for making carrots and inbreeding. That's basically what it's there for. It is true, yeah. And as a young Christian, I'd heard this idea of the Holy Spirit. But in the church that I belonged to, this Methodist church, it wasn't taught. The subject was never broached, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe they were scared of it. Maybe because it was quite a formal church, they weren't too sure about it. I'm not really sure. But that's the context when I became a Christian. And when I hit 20, I left home, got my first proper job working at Gatwick Airport, and I managed to find a nice cheap house to rent in the village of Billingshurst, which, as you may know, is just up the road from here. So then I thought, right, I need to set about looking for a church. Had a look at several different churches in Billingshurst. Nothing, I never really kind of connected with any church there at all. And then one evening I was just sitting there having a cup of tea and my letterbox went. And I thought, oh, who's putting a note through my letterbox 8:30 at night? So I kind of went around the corner, picked up this leaflet. It was a purple leaflet. And on the front of it was this. Whatever you can read that. It's church, Jim, but not as we know it. And I thought, wow. This bunch are either really cool or they're really not. And actually, that was the first leaflet that came out of Billingshurst Family Church 15 years ago. There you go. So I thought I'd better check this out. So I rung up the number on the leaflet. I spoke to the leader of the church, a guy called Steve Petch, who of course now leads Grace Church here. And he seemed like a reasonable kind of guy. So I thought I'll go along and give this church a go. BFC, or Billingshurst Family Church, at the time was a tiny little church. It was a church plant. So it was not the kind of church that I was used to. Walking into somebody's front room and a church consisting of 10 people sitting there looking at each other was not my idea of church. Oh, yeah, you were there, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, and I was the new boy. So everyone's like, morning, evening. It was all a bit different for me. But even at that very, very first meeting when I turned up there, I could tell that these guys had something that I didn't. Because when they prayed, well, it's the church I came from. When people prayed, it was a mumble, to be honest. But I turned up to this church, and all of a sudden, people were praying. And A, they were praying loudly. And B, they were praying like God might actually show up and do something about it. And they were thankful. They were thanking God for provision. They were thanking God for healing. They were thanking God for salvation. And they were praying as if in a foreign language, which I then found out was the people speaking in tongues. And so I came away from that initial meeting, and this was like a very different kind of church that I was used to. And I thought, do you know what? These guys have got something that I haven't, and actually I think I might want it. And next morning I rang up my fiancée, who is now my lovely wife, Kate, and I told her about this new church. And Kate says, you're a new Christian. Are they nutters? That was her first thought. Yeah, she's nodding. You did, yeah. thankfully, they weren't. It's all true. So all of a sudden, I got this idea that there is a Holy Spirit out there. I had seen him moving in other people, and I started asking more and more questions. Who is this Holy Spirit? How does he work, and how do I get it? And shortly after that, Kate and I got married. She moved down to live with me, and we joined Billingshurst Family Church. And I'll always remember one evening meeting. Steve invited this really gifted speaker along, a guy called Simon Walker, who I think, is it Bristol? He now lives church in Bristol. And he came and talked about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, yes, this is it. Let's go. And he finished teaching, and he's praying for people all around the room. The Holy Spirit was coming on people, and I was thinking, yes, this is it. And he came up and he prayed for my wife, Kate, and she was instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Next morning, she's walking around our living room praying in tongues. Wow. And he came and prayed for me. And I was like, yes, this is it. Let's go. Because you do that, don't you, when you get prayed for? A little look every now and again. And nothing happened. Nothing at all. And I remember being really dejected about that. And the next day I rang up Steve and I said, Steve, what's wrong with me? What have I done wrong? How is it that everybody else seems to get the Holy Spirit and I don't get the Holy Spirit? Where have I gone wrong? And Steve said, don't worry about it. We can sort this. We can pray for you. He even quoted Jeremiah 29 where it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then Steve said this. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Tim. We will now pray for you at every single opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. Steve even went as far as to say, if on a Sunday morning we are praying for one-eyed women with menstrual problems, you are going down the front and getting prayed for. Right? That's a quote. And that's what we did. It was every single morning. Who wants prayer? That'll be me. Come on. Nothing. For weeks. Thank you, John. For weeks, nothing at all. And then one morning, Steve gave me a quick ring and he said, are you off work today? I said, yeah. He said, we're just going to get together with a couple of guys. We're going to have a bit of a pray. Do you want to come along? I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to do that. So four guys, just me, myself, and two other guys in the church called Ted and Bruce. And we just started to pray. You know when you might go around somebody's house, if you've ever been there, where you kind of do the odd little bit of prayer, and you kind of go in, you have a cup of coffee, you sit down, you finish your coffee, then someone goes, well, I suppose we better pray. Yeah, all right then. And you kind of stand up, and you get to the point where you go, Lord, we do pray. And we got to about that point, when all of a sudden, this power came upon me that I have never experienced before. The Holy Spirit just hit me like a train. And what I did is I fell over. And I just remember having this experience of this love and empowering of God that I had never had before. And then all of a sudden I was like, I can see carpet. And it was just a completely changing experience for me. I found myself getting gifted with new things. All of a sudden I became bolder. My prayer life became stronger. Instead of mumbling in prayer meetings, I started praying out loud. I started speaking in tongues. I received the gift of prophecy. I started to step out in things that previously would have had me running for the hills. In a nutshell, my walk with Jesus was totally transformed. And I can tell you now that there's people right here in this room who have their own story to tell, and the details will vary, but what doesn't is the power of the Holy Spirit. There's people here today, and do you know what? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, do you know what, Tim? I got prayed for and nothing happened. And I just want to say, I get that. I've been there. That's okay. And we are going to pray for people at the end of this. So come and get prayer. If nothing else, come talk to me. I'll pray for you. I'll leave you to have a think about that. So, moving on. We know that baptism of the Holy Spirit is for believers today. And we can meet people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's this other question, and that is, why would you want it? Why would you want the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And what Jesus means by the Helper, he's referring directly to the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus is saying it is better for us to be empowered with the Holy Spirit than if he was to be standing in the room with us right now. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Jesus was standing right here, right now? What would he look like? What would he say? What would he be wearing? I mean, people have different mental images, don't they, when you conjure up the idea of what Jesus looked like. Most people think he looks like this. There you go. And that's usually because of the film. Who has seen those Jesus films? Yeah, most people have seen those Jesus films. There you go. That's generally speaking, you know, white stuff, short beard, never a long beard, short beard, North American accent. That's what... it's true. Am I the only person that thinks those films are a bit naff? No, thank goodness for that. There's some awful acting out there. Anyway, the other thing about those films, incidentally, come think of it, Jesus, always the short beard. Have you noticed that? See, Jesus always has a short beard, and you can tell the good guys from the bad guys. Jesus and the disciples, short beard, not much facial hair. Pharisees, stonking great beard. All right? It's true. It's just a theory. Let's call it beard theory. So I thought, what I'll do, I did a bit of research on this week. You may. We can pray for you. You're all right. I thought I'd do a bit of research on this. I'm looking at people with beards. God bless you. I thought I'd do a bit of research on this because we've got four elders in Grace Church and these are good men of God. And I thought if there's a benchmark to be set, surely it's a church elder. So we've got four elders in Grace Church. In fact, does anyone know who they all are? Can anyone name the four elders of Grace? Any ideas? Yes, you can. I suppose, yeah, all right, fair enough. Can you name them? Yes, we can. All right, fair enough. You've answered the question. All right, then. Here's what I did this week. I got hold of all four of them. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you just, after this phone call, get your phone out, take a picture of yourself and send it to me? All right? So I've got selfies. And I thought, let's test beard theory on Grace Church eldership. Are we up for that? Here we go. Right. First of all, this is happening. David Thompson. There he is. Is that in your front room? Kitchen. Look at that. No beard at all. Absolute thing of beauty. Clean as a whistle. In fact, he's here. Hang on. Let's have a quick check. Morning, David. You're right. Thing of beauty. You're looking very moisturised as well. Lovely. and deodorised, I might add. An absolute thing of beauty. That's some prayers got into that face. That is a face that I can follow. Would you agree? Yeah. Absolutely. So the plot thickens as we go along. We go to our next elder. Who knows who this is? It's Thomas Bishop. He's our elder in Bognor Regis, a top chap, absolutely lovely, lovely guy, a former estate agent, actually, which proves that God's grace is available to all people. I mean, maybe this was taken in the afternoon. It's not bad, though, is it? It's not bad. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I think I could follow Thomas. Moving on, we get to Chris Kimbangi. Now, it's difficult, this one. To be honest, isn't it? Especially as I was chatting to Chris and he said, what are you going to use it for? I said, Sunday. He goes, really? I'll listen to that. God bless you, Chris, if you're listening. Stand closer to the razor. He's a good guy. We can work with him. We can work with Chris. So then, of course, we come to our last elder, which is our lead elder, Steve Petch. And I said to Steve, send me a picture. And he sent me this. It's just horrendous, isn't it? I mean, that's a face the mafia would call useful. look, you can zoom in. There we go. Now, what's all this got to do with baptism in the Holy Spirit, I hear you ask? Nothing. I just thought it'd be fun. That's basically it. So, there we go. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. In other words, Jesus is saying it is better for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit or empowered by the Holy Spirit than it is if Jesus were physically with us right now. And if you think about it, it does actually make sense. What is most advantageous? God standing right here next to you, or the power of God living and working in you? To truly understand why we need the Holy Spirit, we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is dead simple-ish. The Holy Spirit is one part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you receive power from the Holy Spirit, what you're doing is you're getting plugged in directly to God. And that is one big power source. When you get plugged into a power source like that, guess what? Something is going to happen. And that's why sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, we see people fall over. Some people laugh. Some people cry. And sometimes there is no obvious outward effect whatsoever. And that's okay. And we shouldn't actually seek the Holy Spirit for these reasons, either overly or not so. But we should seek the Holy Spirit. Why? Because in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, you will receive power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's about taking the gospel to the nations. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit for Jesus, when you become a witness for him, that is something which is actually quite multifaceted. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, yes, it empowers us in evangelism. Yes, it's easier for us to share our faith with others. But not only that, people who are not Christians, they do notice the difference. There is a difference in you. I'll give you an example. As a church, we run a midweek toddler group in Bognor Regis called Little Bears. And that group is completely exploding right now. There are new mums and toddlers turning up every week. And Catherine Bishop, who runs that group, she's got real faith for it. It's great. Do you know what she keeps hearing? Week in, week out, these new mums and toddlers are turning up. And these mums are going away. And they keep saying the same thing. You guys are different. There's something about you. You really care. You're really nice. I like being around you. And Catherine's just smiling, going, there's the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. Not only that, a person, when filled with the Spirit, is empowered to do much more than they would be able to do otherwise. I mean, let me ask you a question this morning. If you're a Christian here today, why would you not want more of the Holy Spirit? Because when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible becomes more alive to you. You experience a greater closeness in worship. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can experience more freedom in worship, and your prayer life can be radically transformed. Not only that, it's hugely practical. Problems can be overcome. We don't need to live in fear. Why? Because God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Not only that, the Holy Spirit strengthens us. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He shapes our character to be better witnesses, friends, husbands, wives, parents, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can be released in the Spirit in many gifts, and I'm not going to list them all this morning, but things like wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment, the list goes on. So when we see that this promise of the Holy Spirit is for us here as Christians today, this is how we can see both our lives and the lives of other people transformed. So why would you not want the Holy Spirit? So lastly, and we're going to pray for people in a minute, there's this question of how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, you need to be a Christian. You need to give your life to Jesus. And that means that you need to understand that Jesus is God who came to this earth, walked this earth as a sinless man. He did nothing wrong, but he was killed. He was crucified. And he took that because of everything that we have done wrong. All of our sins were poured onto him. and he rose again, and he is now alive and reigning. And if we put our faith in him, we can be forgiven for our sins, and we can go to heaven, and we can know God for ourselves. That's what it means to be a Christian. So firstly, you need to be a Christian. And secondly, you need to ask. Jesus said in Luke 11, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to ask God to turn up. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to turn up this morning. And so can I just ask the band, guys, can you come up again? And in a minute, we're going to worship. But before we do that, there's just a couple of things I'd like to finish off by saying. Because it's a very personal thing, the Holy Spirit. Because it might be that you've been a Christian. You might be a new Christian. You might have been a Christian for quite some time. And this might all be news to you. You might be thinking, that's all well and good, Tim, but I have just never heard of this before. And that's okay. This promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. There are no exceptions. So if you want the Holy Spirit in your life, you can have that, and we can pray for you in a minute. And it might be that you're here this morning and you've been like me. You've had my experience where you go, do you know what? People prayed for me. Guess what? Nothing happened. And I understand that. And we can pray for you as well this morning. But Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. And we can pray for you. And can I just ask you to stand, guys? And we'll worship in just a second. There's also a reality of it. Paul says that we should go on be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because as Christians, we leak. We leak the Holy Spirit. And there are people here this morning, and you do know what it is to have the Holy Spirit in your life, but you would like some more. And we can pray for you too. And we're going to do all of that in a minute. We might get a bit messy. We up for that? All right. But we are going to pray. And let's just seek God now. Let's worship him. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come.